I always appreciate and actually enjoy our sister Margaret and how she calls upon people because she knows of their talents and wants to be able to feel those things that are good for our souls. And that's probably why Margaret never calls on me to sing. Thank you, Margaret. I appreciate that. But you know, the Lord in his ways uses his children to be able to point out, to see, to enjoy, to share the talents in which he gives us. And I'm thankful for that. So, you know, I feel that that's the Lord's Spirit leading our sister and what is good for the group, the body of Christ. And so I think today our Brother Ken is prepared to be able to give us a message that is good for the body of Christ and for the congregation, for those that are live streaming. I hope each and every one of you take a little bit of something that our brother has to bring, if not a lot. We come to feast upon the Word of God, to be able to take that opportunity to put aside those things out there beyond the doors and to be able to come here in peace and have that joy knowing that there was a Lord and Savior that was given to us. And for our soul's welfare, he uses people to be able to bring a message for us, to be able to have in our lives that will help us in this day in which we live. And so with that, I'll give you our brother and our elder, Ken.
Thank you, Gary. Good morning. Am I on? Yeah. Thank you for those words this morning, Gary. I hope. That's always my hope, that when we come here, that we come to feast on the Word of God. I don't know about my other brothers, but you know, you prepare to stand before the congregation. But for me, that moment before you stand up to me is the most vulnerable, the weakest that you feel, because you're kind of in the spotlight. Welcome to those that are live streaming this morning. Appreciated the special. The Lord is with us. And we do walk through that valley of the shadow of death. This morning, I'm going to talk about the giant slayer. I think we all know who the giant slayer was. It was David. It's interesting. Years and years and years ago, and this was the young person that talked to me, now is married and has children. But we're talking about, well, the message that they received. We're talking about preaching and lessons. And this person made the statement. And I thought, and it's always stuck with me, I thought it was interesting. These stories from the Bible are interesting. You know, they're interesting stories, but how do I apply that story to my life? And I think that's very important. How do we apply the story of David to our lives today? So I'm going to read in 1 Samuel to set the stage. 1 Samuel chapter 17. First Samuel 17, I'm going to begin at verse 38. 1 Samuel 17, 38 through 46. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword about his armor, and he assayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by the gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. And then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. It's a nice story, quite a story, and there's a lot going on here. I want to back up and read the first three verses of this chapter, kind of set the scene where David was and this giant. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shochah, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochah and Azekah the Ephdamim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. So picture this, there's a mountain, not like the Rocky Mountains, but a high hill. And this great valley separated these two armies. And here's this giant of a man. I think he said he was 6 cubits, about 9 feet, maybe 10 feet tall. Huge man. And here's David going out to meet him. Not a very fair competition, was it? And you got to remember also that the fate of Israel rested in this battle. You know, whoever won this battle between these two men, that was the fate of Israel. And here's David. I don't know. Teenager, probably. He wasn't much older. He probably wasn't. I don't think he was 20 years. He's probably a teenager. Little shepherd boy came to bring food to his brothers and saw this. He said, he kind of said, what's going on here? Are we afraid? So we go to the script, and it says that he put on this armor, and it was too heavy, and he hadn't proved it. So he went to the stream, and he gathered 5 stones. And as I was reading this and contemplating, I did a PowerPoint presentation in Spanish on this, and I was thinking about these 5 stones. And I think others have preached about the 5 stones and probably maybe get a little different take, but I got 5 things out of these stones that David used to prepare. He just didn't go up to the giant and say, I'm going to kill you. It had to be preparation. Maybe not that particular day, but in his life, David had prepared all his life for this day. First thing David had was faith. He had faith in the God of Israel that God would deliver this giant into his hands. And this giant was Goliath, but we have giants in our life today. I bet I could take a poll, and every one of us has a different giant, perhaps. Something that we're facing, something we're struggling with, something we're trying to overcome in our personal lives. And it's difficult. David had this giant, and he was overcoming. And we can use the same principles as David. We can slay our giant brothers and sisters. Whatever our giant is, we can slay that giant. Just as David did not go in his own strength, but he went in the strength of the God of Israel. But we need to prepare ourselves to have the power of God in our lives. And that's what it was. It was the power of God in the life of David. So he had faith. Faith is the assurance of things we hope for, is the evidence of things we cannot see. What we see around us, the blessings we have received, the blessings others have received, the touch of the Spirit in our lives are all witnesses of that faith that we have. Perhaps there's dreams that we've had, dreams that others have, testimonies, sermons. These all give witness to our faith. But faith is also an action word. We need to put it into action. David put his faith into action. He stood up to this giant. You know, he just didn't say, well, I got faith and this giant's going to run away. No. It took an action on his part. So we must put our faith into action. James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse 14. For every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And that's not the scripture I wanted to read. Now I just had a brain freeze. Oh, you're right. I was in chapter 2 is right here. Thank you. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? So David had faith. What was his works? His works were he went and got these five stones. His works was he went and he stood before this giant. He put his faith into action. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of food, of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devil also believes and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? We need to put our faith into action. We need to step outside our comfort zone to have. David definitely stepped outside of his comfort zone. I don't know how I would feel if I was a young man standing before this giant of a man. Not comfortable. That's for sure. In Mosiah, chapter 2. Mosiah, chapter 2. These are familiar scriptures. Beginning at verse 12. There is none other salvation save that which has been spoken of. Neither are there any conditions whereby man can be saved except the conditions which I have told you. Believe in God. Believe that He is. And I'm preaching to the choir. These are scriptures that we know and embrace. That He created all things both in heaven and earth. Believe that He has all wisdom and all power both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man does not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them. And humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that He would forgive you. And now if you believe all these things, see that you do them. Action. Action. It's more than just believing in something. It's an action. You know, our faith may be small. It may be weak. I think every one of us at some time in our life has struggled with our faith. But we need to water it. We need to water it. We need to water it by prayer and by study, keeping the commandments, serving each other. That's what Mosiah said. When we're in the service of our fellow beings, we're only in the service of our God. A brother was once asked, how do I increase my faith? And his answer was, increase your service. And that is a true statement. If we increase our service, if we're more active, we're more diligent in doing, our faith will increase. Because every time we do something, it increases our faith. You know, I think about prayer. Somebody asked for prayer for somebody that's sick. Who is that prayer really for? God knows that person's sick. God knows their need. But he asks us to pray for them. Why? For us. We go to God. We humble ourselves. We pour out our hearts to God. And we see the results of our prayer in that person's life. What does it do? Gives us strength. That person's blessed. But we are blessed, maybe more. Because we see the results of our prayer, our petition, our cry to God. Second stone is courage. Courage, the ability to do something that frightens us. Can you see? Picture David. Here's the army of Israel and the army of the Philistines and this big old guy standing in front of them. My first inclination would be one of the F's. Flight, run. Run for the hills. But David had courage. Courage is strength in the face of pain or grief. Amy has courage. She does. You know, my wife had courage. We face obstacles in our lives and we do it with courage. It's a mental or moral strength to venture. David ventured out against this giant. It's to persevere against all obstacles. Does life sometimes seem hopeless? That everything's against you, just one thing after another has happened that could put you down? We have to have the courage to face that. To go to God. To in reality, look at ourselves. Look at our souls. Look at our hearts and our minds and see what we can do. Changes. To withstand danger, fear, or a difficulty in our life. Courage is taking action when we're afraid. To stand for what is right against opposition. To be afraid, but standing strong anyway. You know, the soldier in the battlefield, courageous. They have fear. They have fear. You know, that next bullet may be for me. But they go forward anyway. We must go forward in the face of adversity. Put aside our fear. Ask God to help us overcome it. Courage can be as simple as saying no to a friend. Hey, let's go do this. No, I don't think that's a good thing to do. Courage could be walking away from temptation. You know, Joseph of Egypt, he ran. He just didn't walk. He ran from that temptation. Maybe saying a prayer in public, at a restaurant. Are we afraid to pray? Are we afraid to speak to a coworker or a schoolmate, somebody we meet? Are we afraid to talk about Christ? There's a brother in Mexico that there's not a person he sees that he doesn't speak of Christ. Jay knows who I'm talking about. And we have lots of openings in Mexico because this brother is not afraid. In the market, on the bus, on his bicycle, on his motorcycle, he will stop and talk to people. Don't be afraid to voice your faith. Promises. There's promises when we do that. Let's go to Psalms 31:24. Psalm 31, verse 24, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. If we have a hope in the Lord, if we have a faith in the Lord, he will strengthen us. He will. Don't be downtrodden. You know, the Lord says, lift up your head, rejoice. In the 27th chapter of Psalms, first verse, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Who are we afraid of? Nothing to be afraid of. Nothing when we have the Lord in our corner. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy 1, verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Not to be afraid, not to have fear. Some of our brothers go to places that are dangerous. I'm sure they have a little bit of fear in their heart. But God has given us the opportunity. He's really given us the power to conquer that fear, to overcome that fear, and put our trust in God. David put his trust in God. You know, one swipe of the giant, David would have been dead. He put his trust in God, his courage. He had the courage to face him. In Matthew 14. Matthew chapter 14, verse 25. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out in fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." Be not afraid. Does Christ come to us and say, "Be not afraid"? And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." How many times has the Lord said, "Come" to us? Perhaps we didn't get out of the boat. And when Peter has come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So here's Peter, climbs out of the boat onto this water and starts walking on the water. Amazing, isn't it? That is an amazing experience. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Fear. He lost his courage. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Courage. Courage in the face of adversity. Courage when that wave comes at us. Courage when that giant comes face to face with us. Courage to stand. Courage. Stone number three, humility. Humility is a modest or low view of one's own importance, humbleness, freedom from pride or arrogance, the quality or state of being humble. Humble is having or showing a modest or low estimate of one's own importance, not proud or haughty, not arrogant nor assertive. Now, David, he didn't go out there and say, "Boy, I can do this. I'm a big guy. I'm a strong guy." And this giant, he's done. He didn't go in pride. He didn't go in his own strength. He went in the fear of God. Being humble, reflecting, expressing, or offered in a spirit of deference or submission. David submitted to the will of God. You know, David did a lot of bad things. He did. He was, in a lot of ways, he was not a good guy. But one thing that David had, and I believe this is why God said David was a man after my own heart, was because when things were pointed out to David, what he did wrong, he accepted it and he repented. He was humble. He was humble when faced with his wrong. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, one verse, verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. To set above, to esteem each other better than ourselves. We have the example of Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. Why? To show them humility. To show them that he was a servant, to show them that even the Son of God, the Savior of the world, was not above washing someone's feet. I'm not saying that's a practice we should follow, that we need to do it, but we need to follow the example that Christ put before us, willing to do it, to be humble. Setting aside perhaps our own thoughts, our own ideas, our own prejudices, our own pride. Both in Matthew and 3 Nephi, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the humble, for theirs shall be the kingdom of heaven. You know, it's impossible. It is impossible to serve God with pride in our lives. I think if David had went to Goliath with any amount of pride, that he, in his own strength, in his own wisdom, in his own ability, could defeat the giant, he would have failed miserably. He would have failed. Psalm 10. What I like about the scriptures, not only are they the words of life, but they're full of promises. Promises, promise after promise. Psalm 10. Verse 17. That's not the right scripture. I got the wrong scriptures down here. But the scripture I want is, God hears the cry of the humble. He hears the cry of the humble. And in Luke chapter 14, Luke 14, verse 7. And he put forth a parable to those that were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou should be bidden of them. And he that bade thee, and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. So you come into this assembly, and you want the best room. You want to sit at the head table. You want the most prominent place. Here I am. I'm a friend of this person. We walk in with that attitude, and the Lord says, whoa, somebody else more worthy than you may come, and guess what? They're going to ask you to move. Oh, can you imagine? Just picture yourself at the head table, and they come up and whisper in your ear, and all of a sudden you got to go to the back of the room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room. And when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Isn't it much better to come in and sit in the lowest place in the room, and that the master of the house comes, hey, brother, hey, sister, what are you doing back here? Come on up. You don't need to sit here. Much better than being at the head table and saying, hey, get out of here. We need to be humble. It is impossible to serve God with pride in our lives. Can't be done. Cannot be done. Stone number four. Prayer. I'm sure that David went to the Lord in mighty prayer. I don't know how long he was. I don't know if it says. I don't remember. You know, he came and his brothers were there and he brought the food and he saw this army and he said, what's going on? I don't know if it's the same day or the next day, but I'm sure that sometime between the time that he came and when he went to face the giant, I bet he got on his knees and approached the Lord in prayer. Psalm 34, 15. Psalm 34, 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Remember that, brothers and sisters. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. It doesn't say perfect. We're not perfect. But I believe we strive to be righteous. And it says the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. The eyes of the Lord are upon everyone here, upon those in live streaming land. Wherever God's people are, God's eyes are on us. He sees us. He knows our fears. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our joys. He knows what we need every moment. And what we think maybe the best answer is not God's best answer sometimes. He doesn't do anything without a purpose. And whatever he does in our lives is for us. To strengthen us, to make us stronger, to make us more righteous, to make us a better person. So prayer. We go to God in prayer because his ears are open to our cry. God listens. Peter says in the third chapter of 1 Peter, he says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. In the Book of Mormon in Enos, Enos, verse 24. And Enos gone out into the wilderness, and he might not have been a very righteous man. I don't know at this point, but he remembered the words of his father. And he went into the wilderness, and he went to pray. He went to pray. He got forgiveness. He got forgiveness of his sins, because he said, God cannot lie. I'm paraphrasing. Verse 24, it says, for he said unto me, whatsoever thing ye shall ask in faith. Now, he was praying that these records and stuff would be preserved for his descendants. But whatsoever thing ye shall ask in faith, believing that ye shall receive in the name of Christ, ye shall receive it. Here stands a man that received of God. He went to the Lord remembering, listen, kids, to what's going on around you. Remember these words. The words that you hear, the testimonies, the words of your parents. He remembered his father's words. And whatsoever thing ye shall ask in faith, believing, ye shall receive it.
Took it out of my Bible.
James, chapter 1. Verse 5 and 6. This is the scripture that Joseph Smith read before he went into the woods. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He's not going to chew us out for going to him with a dumb question. There's no such thing. He's not going to belittle us. He's not going to berate us. It shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. We need to go in faith. What did we read in Mosiah? If you believe these things, do them. Have that faith to go to God and believe that he will answer. Now I'm in chapter 16. Verse 2:18. I'm just going to read one verse of this scripture. Alma 16, verse 2:18. Therefore may God grant unto you, my brethren, that ye might begin to exercise your faith unto repentance, that ye begin to call upon his holy name, that he would have mercy upon you, yea, cry unto him for mercy, for he is mighty to save. Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto him. Cry unto him when ye are in your fields, yea, over all your flocks. Cry unto him in your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto him against the devil, which is the enemy to all righteousness. We need to actively pray against the adversary, against Satan, his influence, that God would hedge our way. Pray against the powers of your enemies. Pray against Satan. Pray against those who will seek to destroy our peace, our safety. Stone number five, trust. Trust. A firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. A firm belief in God. Reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something. Do we have reliance on the ability and the strength of God? Trust. We trust someone. We put our confidence in somebody. We must put our confidence in God. David put his confidence in God, and we're going to read that scripture a little bit again. When he went to Goliath, he put his trust in God. He went with God. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Perhaps this is the most difficult stone. When we're faced with opposition, sometimes it is difficult to trust God. Where is he? Where's God? You know, I'm having all these horrible things. I got this giant. I got this temptation. I got this affliction, I got this obstacle in my life. Where is God? Sometimes it's difficult to trust. David walks out and faces this giant. You know, he's looking up. I should bring a little kid up here and look up a bit. Look, he's looking up at this giant. Maybe at that particular moment, it was difficult for him to trust. So when we are faced with opposition, sometimes it is difficult. When Peter walked on the water, he lacked the faith. He saw the waves, and his faith failed him. He lost his trust in the Lord. He started to sink. And what did he say? Lord, save me. And the Lord reached out and took his hand. Took his hand. When we cry to the Lord, save me, help me, he's not going to ignore us. He's not going to walk away. He's going to reach out his hand and he's going to take it and lift us up. He's going to give us courage. He's going to give us strength. He's going to give us peace. He's going to give us hope. But the first thing in trust was what the Lord said to Peter. Peter said, if it's you, let me come out to meet you. And the Lord said, come. Peter had trust. He had faith. He had courage. He had all these things until there was an opposition. This boisterous wave, and he thought he was going to drown. And he began to sink, and he said, Lord, save me, help me. And the Lord reached out his hand and saved Peter. What did he admonish him? O ye of little faith. It's important that we trust completely. Just like David, he trusted in the Lord. He had to. What if David had stood before Goliath in doubt? Failure. Failure. You know, Proverbs, not going to go to it. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust. 2 Nephi chapter 9. We'll go to that in chapter 9. 2 Nephi chapter 9. Verse 133. 2 Nephi chapter 9 verse 133. For he says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. I will trust. I will trust. Hebrews chapter 13. Verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The promise. See, you read the scriptures and there's a promise. God asks something, he gives us something. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Promise. A promise. Even when we fail, even when we walk contrary sometimes to his laws and his commandments, he never fails us. He never leaves us. He's always there. Take my hand. Peter, you're sinking. Come on, take my hand. I'll lift you up. So remember, we have the Holy Spirit with us and the promise that Christ will never leave us. So let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 17. First Samuel 17, 38 and 39. I'm going to reread a couple verses here. 38 and 39. It says, and Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. All the preparations of man. Here's my armor. Well, found it too big for David to start with, but here's my armor. Go in my armor. You're going to be protected. You'll win. But David, he said, I haven't proved this. He says, I can't go with it. It's too big, too awkward, too heavy. I don't know anything about it. So he went without armor. He put off the preparation of man. We can do all the preparation and all the planning and all the thinking that we want. But guess what? God can change it. We need to do our thinking, our planning, our preparations in the Spirit of God. Verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. That was David's ace in the hole. That was what he came. He said, I come in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. David trusted. David had confidence. And the end of that verse, and here I believe is the reason that David won the battle. That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Isn't that our purpose? That every man, woman, and child that we come across will know that there is a God. That he is alive. That we trust him. That we have him. Our lives are to bring glory to God. To bring honor to his name. We've all failed. I've failed. We've all failed to do that. But our purpose is to bring honor to God. So we fail. I've used this analogy before, you know. You're a baseball player and you're at the plate and you're looking for that curveball. You're looking for that curveball. That's what the pitcher's been throwing. And all of a sudden he throws a fastball and you swing and down you go. You missed. Do you stay down? That batter, he gets back up and dusts his pants off and grabs that bat and gets back in there, looking for that curveball again maybe. We get back up. We fail. And sometimes when we fail, we give up. Don't give up. So David went in the name of the Lord. He trusted the Lord. The Lord was with him. Why? Because he had prepared. The Lord will be with us because we have prepared. One more scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm just going to begin at verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. David had that victory over his giant. We could have the victory over this giant. We can have victory over this world, over this life. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Faith, courage, humility, prayer, trust. Trust God. He is always with us. Bottom line is, David did this to show there was a God in heaven. Israel would not have won that battle except for God. I pray that as we live our lives, that we will strive to overcome our giants. That we will strive to put our trust in God. And at the end of the day, our life will bring praise, honor, and glory to God. And the world will know through us that there is a God. Thank you for your time.